are blowing in Joe Biden's direction. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. First, the count shifted to Biden's favor in Georgia at about 5 a.m., giving the Democrat a nearly 1,100-point lead. Then an hour ago in Pennsylvania, the days-long lead for President Trump evaporated. Biden now leads by about 5,600 votes there.
We expect that the counting here at the Philadelphia Convention Center that is ongoing right now to be finished today, say officials, and they're getting that increase for former Vice President Joe Biden.
That's Fox's Eric Shawn.
Democracy is sometimes messy. It sometimes requires a little patience as well.
But the Democratic nominee believes when all the votes are counted, he will be the winner. The Trump campaign just put out a statement the election is not over. The president will be reelected in the end. They claim there was ballot harvesting in Georgia, irregularities in Pennsylvania, and they believe Arizona will end up Trump red. And they filed suit in Nevada, where Joe Biden has an 11,000-vote lead. Fox's John Decker live in Washington.
Trump campaign advisor Matt Slapp on Fox and Friends claiming massive fraud in Nevada, a state in which President Trump is trailing Joe Biden by more than 11,000 votes.
There are more people on the voting rolls here than live here. We just with laptops and publicly available information found 3,000 people who voted in this election who don't live here.
The Trump campaign has filed a lawsuit in Nevada, a state worth 6 electoral votes, and that President Trump lost by a narrow margin 4 years ago. Dave?
John, there was a record number of new coronavirus cases in the U.S. yesterday, nearly 122,000. And the attempted recovery from the earlier corona shutdowns.
There were 638,000 new jobs created in October, a stronger improvement than expected, though down from about 1.5 million in the summer. The unemployment rate declined to 6.9%.
That's Fox's Jenny Casola. America's listening to Fox News.
Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale. They're releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors, plus there's free shipping on everything. Yes, everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/sbblackfriday. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Federal agencies urge every family to have an emergency radio. During any disaster, electrical power may get cut. The emergency radio gives you the vital information you need. Newsmax wants you to have the Dynamo Emergency Radio. It doesn't need batteries and works in any emergency. It retails for $30, but get it today with the free offer. Call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX. That's 877-NEWSMAX. Or go online to gettheradio.com and get the emergency radio.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Fox News on AM 560 Radio is brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Kennedy said, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. You and I are that generation.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny at 96 this afternoon, 61 overnight tonight, west wind at 10. It'll be sunny with 78 tomorrow, northwest wind at 15 to 20, 51 overnight, and partly sunny Sunday and breezy with a high of 76, 51 on Sunday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Adrian Elder. Welcome to Money Talk. I'm sitting in for our founder and CEO, Tom Rush, today. This is the fun show. That's what I always call it when I'm on. I'm here with the president of the Yuma chapter of NARF, which is the National Active Retirement Federal Employees, Mr. Stan Gourley.
Good morning. How are we doing today, Adrian?
I am wonderful. All is well, huh? So, I usually will touch base real quick on the markets, and then we'll kind of get into what we want to talk about. Today is going to be focused mainly on federal retirement and federal retirees and what to do to get prepared if you're in the federal retirement systems. Currently, I am, according to the website, I'm the only federal retirement consultant in southern Arizona. Big designation, had to memorize all kinds of crazy FERS, SERS, and all different types of things, tables. Probably one of the hardest tests I ever took in my life. But anyway, it's a good thing. We're here to help you guys. The markets are up quite a bit over the last week or so with the election. Obviously they're down a little bit today, but a minuscule amount in comparison to what they're up over the last 4 days or so. We look at it as a good situation. We have the changeover in the presidency, it appears, at least that's the way it looks like it's going to go. But the Senate held, which means that we have a good set of checks and balances, and the financial world really likes that. We like things to be checked and confirmed and et cetera. So we will talk a little bit about that as we go. We actually have a great piece that we're going to release onto our website, www.yumainvestmentgroup.com, today. That goes over the election and the markets. It's a 3 or 4 page piece, absolutely excellent. So if you're getting a little sketchy, with what's happened, and you're wondering whether you should move money around or do anything to that effect, it's going to be called "How the Results of the Election Could Impact the Markets and Your Financial Plan." It will be available on our website hopefully today. If not, and you really want it, you can feel free to give our office a call, 928-329-1700. That's 928-329-1700, and we can get that emailed out to you very, very quickly. So with that being said, we got through all the things we had to get through. Now we can get through the things we want to get through. So I'm going to talk a little bit with Stan today again. He's put together some great pieces. NARF is an excellent, excellent service that's available to anyone in the federal scope. So if you can, tell us a little bit about NARF.
NARF is a national organization with local chapters throughout the country. The primary focus of NARF, it's actually the only national organization that represents federal retiree benefits and services to the active and retired employees as far as answering questions about Social Security, about veterans benefits, about Medicare, about health care in general. All kinds of stuff. So if you have any questions about any of those categories in your retirement, give us a call. I don't know what the phone number here is. Do you have it?
It's usually right on a little sticky here in front of us, but feel free to give us a call, especially if it's about the federal stuff. That's really what we're looking to talk about today. I know 560 KBLU does a great job of talking politics and the elections and stuff like that, but that's not really what we're into today. We're looking at more of the federal retirement stuff. We are expecting a call in from a Medicare expert, so we're going to have a little bit of a conversation with them. But one of the things that Stan gave to me is a neat article, and it talks about the timeline. He put it together. It's a little timeline of what you should do as a federal employee, starting at when you're hired, right? And then what happens when you get married and you have kids and then buy a house, and how should you start saving? And so, he brings up some really good points in there. And again, the biggest thing to consider is starting early, right? So if you have an available ability to put money into, you know, your thrift savings plan or any 401k for that matter, or 403b or any type of retirement savings plan, it's always best to start early on that. The longer that things can grow, the better off they'll go. But I know that again, Stan has kind of dialed this out a little bit for federal employees, so I'll let him kind of run through what his suggestions are there.
Well, what I did was I looked at the average federal employee's life, their career within the government, leading towards a retirement. If disability is an issue for you, that's a completely separate subject, and I didn't prepare anything for that for today. But also bearing in mind that if you are a military individual today, an active duty military, your retirement program changed in, I think, January of 2019, and your program looks a lot like the FERS, F-E-R-S program of the federal employees, and a lot of parallels are drawn from that. And there are some time changes within that system, both systems, that you need to be bearing in mind as you plan towards your retirement. The first system starts out, it's a three-legged system. You earn 1 point for each year of credible service. And from that point, you're going to get a ratio of your high three at the end of years of service. So if you have 25 years of federal service, that's 25% of your high three base pay. The same thing is very similar within the military system. The problem with the military system is generally your career ends in early 40s. You may have only 20 or less than 25 years of federal service, and you will not see a dime beyond that 25% until you turn 59 and a half when you have access to your TSP, or when you turn, right now today it's almost 67, mm-hmm, for Social Security.
Yeah.
So you cannot look at your retirement pay and that percentage assuming you're going to get that big number the day you retire. It is not going to happen.
Yeah,
it grows over time.
You have to have kind of a segue, right? And that's one of the things that we talk to our clients a lot about, because many of our clients actually have really thoroughly prepared, right? And so what I mean by thoroughly prepared is being able to meet your expenses through incomes that you have, right? So many of our clients have pensions, whether it's FERS, SERS, ASRS, et cetera. But yeah, there's definitely a gap that can come in there. And a lot of times, you know, it's in the early 50s, you know, 52, 53, and you have to survive another 10, 12 years. And so what we talk about in a financial planning sense is looking at, what do you want to do in that time frame, right? What could you do that would supplement the incomes? How do you bridge that gap, right, and get to that longer point? Because, again, you know, a lot of those things, yeah, it's 67 right now. I know mine is 67, and there are talks about that number going up. And so it may be, you know, for this next generation, it could be 68, it could be 69, it might even be 70. Who knows, before Social Security is going to be available. Now, obviously, you can take a lesser benefit early at 62. An important thing to note is that your Social Security benefit will grow by 8% a year from age 62 to your maximum age of 70. So each year you get an 8% increase on that, right? And so that's a pretty big number when you look at, you know, 8 over the course of 8 years. What that tells you is that the majority of the income you're going to get from Social Security comes at the back end, right? So you spend all those years putting money into it, and the benefit really, really solidly grows in that final 8 years. Most people don't wait till 70, but it's really important to consider, especially if you have parents who are still alive and they're in their, you know, say late 80s, 90s, whatever it might be. You have to look at that that genealogy to say, hey, you know, am I going to live a really long time? And if so, it might not make sense to take a massively reduced benefit, 66% less in some cases, it's 62.
Well, absolutely. I think the biggest planning element when you approach 62, and if you plan not to be working after 62, is to look very hard at that Social Security number. I did myself. I took my Social Security estimate from the Social Security website, which you can go look at. You have to get online, USA.gov, and they ask you a bunch of questions on stuff you have no idea how they got the information, but they know the answers.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to answer that, and they'll give you a login, and you can go there annually. One, check your earnings, check your contributions, and check your estimate. That estimate then changes at 62, as Adrian said, is basically 8% per year lower than your full retirement age. For me, my full retirement age was 66 and change. Adrian's is going to be, right today, if he retired today, 67, but unlikely going to make that. It's going to be higher.
Probably.
And then, so I took my, how much I'm going to estimate at 62, how much I would estimate at full retirement age, around 66-something, and how much I would get at 70. I took those numbers and added a column up of those three columns, and 62 didn't match up to the same gross number until I was 74. Well, looking at my family history, I'm going, is there a good chance I'm going to survive to 74, an additional 14 years or whatever, 12 years? I go, probably not. I'm going to start taking my money early. But if I was working, then I might defer it. But and in the old days, you could defer it. You could apply and then not take it and extend it out. They took that away from us in the year 2019 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was 2018. And they changed a couple of laws in that change, one of which was the spousal benefit, which was very quietly done, kind of under the weather. Actually, it was 2016, I should say, 2016 when they changed it. And so what you used to be able to do was to maximize your Social Security benefit. If you were married, you could take your spousal benefit, which was 50% of your spouse's benefit, right? And so just to use round numbers, let's say I get, you know, at my full age, I get $2,000 a month. Again, round numbers. And my wife gets $2,000 a month at her full retirement age. I could go off and take 50% of hers, which would be $1,000 a month, and let mine continue to grow all the way up to 70, right? And then I might get $2,500 a month, or again, I'm just very, very round numbers. And then I could jump off of hers and jump onto mine when it's maximized the benefit. They changed that rule, so it's very important to understand. And this is one of the things we talk about in our, I've got a pamphlet that's called 10 Biggest Mistakes That Federal Employees Make in Planning for Retirement. There's a lot of people out there that still assume that that's the way it works. And now the way that it works is that whatever you take, you take. And so if you take the spousal benefit, that's your benefit. And you don't get to jump off and go back to your other benefit. If you take your benefit, you take your benefit. And so it's really important well in advance, right? And we usually say, you know, 10, maybe even 15 years in advance to start really getting your ducks in a row, whether it's CSRS, CSRS offset, FERS, you know, Social Security. Start planning for those incomes. When am I going to take it based off longevity that's expected and the amounts that I'm going to get, right? Because obviously your income needs to be able to meet your expenses. Because what you don't want to do is retire too early and end up having to dip into your TSP and possibly take a penalty because you're only 53, right? To supplement that income, and now you're giving the IRS an extra 10% every time you take money out. So it's just really important to plan in advance. And one of the main things we do at Yuma Investment Group is financial planning. We have all different types of experts on staff. We've got Social Security experts, insurance experts. You know, as far as the federal retirement stuff, I'm the expert on that. We have estate planning attorneys, CPAs. We've got every tool you could need in the toolbox to be able to make sure you're making the right decisions, not just now, but in the long term.
Well, absolutely. The biggest thing is I did not personally think of hardly any of this stuff until I retired and I got involved in NARF, and then I started looking at it. And we have, believe it or not, I'm the youngest guy in the room when we show up for one of our hearings or our meetings right now. And so I started doing research for other people. You can correct your retirement mistakes if you start at age 45, but it costs you a lot more. If you started at 25 when you started federal service, you could put a very small amount in, get matching funds, You want to grow that into your matching funds, which right now is 5%. So you put in 6% of your pay. If you, the earliest you can get to 6%, then you have some planning and some time that leads all the way to age 65 or so when you finally retire. But bearing in mind that money you're putting in the savings portion of it, that's one of those three legs of your retirement, your annuity, which is the little number, their TSP, and Social Security. For myself, I also have a military retirement, and my Social Security represents my lowest, my smallest check. It is not the bigger check. My military check is my biggest check. My GS check is the next one. And you have to look at that kind of stuff, and it's really hard to do at age 26.
Yep.
But you need to sit down and do that. Go to a professional. Yuma Investment Group has all of the subject areas covered, particularly on Social Security. It is really, really cumbersome. They don't make it easy. You will never understand the formulas that they use.
Right.
Never. And Medicare is the same way, because Social Security administers Medicare, and they have a formula you will never figure out. They cover 80%. 80% of what? Well, it's this and this and this and this. And don't forget, this doesn't count because this is this. So it's really, really hard, and you need to go to a professional. I don't think Yuma Investment doesn't cover Medicare.
We actually do. We have a Medicare expert on staff also.
And WACOG has Randall Adams here in Yuma, and if you needed his number or his expertise or Yuma Investment Group, just send me an email. I can give you my email at the end of this conversation. And believe it or not, there are people that will help you without sticking their hand in your pocket.
Yep.
That's the key.
Yep, very, very good information there. Well, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Again, this is Money Talk on 560 KBLU.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
All right, Yuma, good morning. Welcome back to Money Talk. This is Adrian Elder sitting in for Tom Rush on 560 KBLU. I'm here with Stan Gourley, the Yuma chapter president of the National Active Retirement Federal Employees, NARF, which is our local chapter here. We have a a great seminar that we're putting together right now that's going to be coming out very, very soon. And it's going to get real intricate on what federal employees need to do to plan for retirement, whether they're, you know, 5 to 10 years out, maybe a little longer, or even, you know, right there at that point, or even maybe even a little past. Like, you know, looking at the different things that we can do to try to help them. We put together a great piece, and again, we call it the 10 biggest mistakes that federal employees can make. I threw this by, I've started what's called a advisory council, a federal employee advisory council, and I'd love to thank Stan for being a part of that. I picked out 5 or 6 different clients or non-clients that I just feel like have a really good handle on certain sectors. So I've got somebody in there from USDA, I've got somebody from the military, I've got somebody from YPG, someone in SERS, someone in FERS. You know, and again, those 5 or 6 people, we bounce those things off of, and again, Stan is a huge subject matter expert on this stuff, so we always double-check our information and make sure that, you know, we're doing the right things. We have retired federal employees on our staff also, and so, you know, we try to focus on this stuff and make sure that we're understanding what, you know, what people need and what the information that they're missing, because that's one of the biggest issues we run into when we're talking to federal employees. I spoke to a Border Patrol agent last week, and he said, you know, we don't get the information that we need. There's not anyone coming in, and the subject matter experts, quote unquote, that are coming in are trying to sell annuities and things like that. And so we are super non-biased with it. We try to just give factual information. If you choose to use the information that we give you, great. If not, no big deal. You know, we really do look at it, though, from a financial planning standpoint. So that's why we put together this 10 biggest mistakes. And one of them is mistake number one, failure to carefully review personnel records prior to federal retirement. Again, you can look in your official personnel folder, right, your OPF, correct and make it current, right, in particular form SF-50, right, which is your notice of personnel action, which, again, that's updated annually, so you want to make sure that everything in there is accurate. I'm going to kick it over to Stan and see if he's got any input on that or anything to that effect on mistake number one, because we think that's why we put it number one, and it's really important.
Well, actually, this mistake number one caught me on 2 separate issues. One issue is buying in your military time. For many people, buying in their military time, which means then if you got 6 years of active duty and you've become a federal employee, you can add that 6 years to your federal service. In other words, you could add your 6 years and you might have 20 years in. All of a sudden, you have 26 years of federal service. But when you buy in, you have to pay an interest on that. Well, believe it or not, it's between me and dealing with my civilian personnel, human resources, whatever they want to call themselves today, took me 9 years, and my buy-in, because I looked it up just the other day, was $1,100. It took me 9 years to come up with my portion of $1,100, but it made a significant impact on my retirement check. I get that $1,100 back every 2 months.
Wow.
So it's a biggie.
Yeah.
And then I was fortunate when I went to retire and I was using my active duty time, I got caught up with a mistake in my files that I had not picked up before that, and I retired in March of 08. Then I found out what they were going to do for me. I didn't take a check. You don't want to ever take a check when it's wrong. I went back to my boss and I said, hey, this is what's going to happen, and I need to extend. Mm-hmm. And he let me extend, and I was not able to retire until December of 08. Consequently, I had to work an additional 9-10 months in order to get it all squared away. I got it all squared away, but it's really, really hard to do, because to see those numbers at the end, to see that paperwork at the end, is hard to get a hold of because you're not at the end yet.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't ever want to take that first check, because you are stuck with that check forever.
Absolutely.
Consequently, look at your numbers and work on resolving that and get an estimate well in advance, 6 months or more in advance of when you want to leave, so that when you do leave, you're in agreement with what OPM or or whomever is doing that is telling you the number is.
Absolutely, yeah. And we always say that whether it's, you know, federal pensions, Social Security, non-federal pensions, right? You got to be reviewing this stuff, and you got to be looking at it pretty regularly, because it's always easier to fix before the fact than it is after the fact. And sometimes that is one of the things that we point out in the seminar that's coming up, is that there are a lot of irrevocable choices that you make, right? And so in this whole process, you know, you can do something, you can choose a specific way, and there's not much you can do about it after the fact, if anything. And so it's really important to make those decisions correctly the first time. With that being said, I'm going to jump to mistake number three, failure to fill out and, if necessary, update beneficiary designation.
Oh, that's a big beneficiaries. I've done some research, a lot of research on beneficiaries, and the beneficiary issue has changed radically just this year with this thing Congress passed. 90% of the people in the United States don't know it. It's called the Secure Act, and it has absolutely nothing to do with your security. The way I read it personally, it is totally insecurity. You got to get with somebody and come up with a plan. But that the Secure Act has destroyed the beneficiary issue for everybody in your family, for your estate, except maybe your spouse. But even that is impacted by this Secure Act.
Yep. We see a couple different issues there, right? And so one of them just being the fact that there used to be what's called a stretch IRA, right? And that's not a thing anymore. You can't stretch an IRA. So let me just give you a quick rundown of how that works. And again, I'm just going to use round numbers. So it used to be, let's say, you know, my dad worked for the federal government or whatever, right? He can work for NBC. He can work for APS or whatever, right? And so he's got a 401k, TSP, 403b, whatever it might be. And let's say there's $100,000 in there. They go on through life. They don't ever really use it. And it passes to my mom. Well, that will pass very simply, right? It just goes from one spouse to the next. That's not the issue. The issue is in the next generation, right? Now, Stan's got a very interesting one to talk about when it comes to TSP and the beneficiary designation. But just to keep on what I'm saying here for a second, what happened is it used to be that if I were to inherit that IRA, right, I would be able to take whatever I need out of that within reason, right, because there's a required minimum distribution that I would have to take each year. And I could take that small portion, but I could leave the rest there to grow for, you know, essentially perpetuity as long as it lasts, right? Now you have what's called a 10-year rule, right? And so the 10-year rule says that from the date of when you receive the funds, when you become the beneficiary and it goes into that beneficiary IRA, you have 10 years to distribute those funds, right? And so here's the big issue and where we see a huge hole in the bucket. They're not going to give you a required minimum distribution on that 10 years. You just have to get it out within 10 years, and that's on you. So you have to figure out how long that is, right? How long is that 10 years? And all the money that you take out of that IRA is income to you, right? So it's going to be taxed at your federal tax rate.
Wait a second. That is added on top of what you are already earning.
Yep.
You could be somebody earning $35,000 a year because you're the lower tax earner in your family. All of a sudden, you have $65,000 a year if you take 30 out. And all of a sudden, your taxes just skyrocketed, mm-hmm. and you and your husband may be in the next tax bracket. I have heard formulas of this Secure Act that if it got screwed up to the point that the 10 years passes, you could lose 70% of the value of that IRA that your dad left you.
And it very could well be. You know, the big issue there really comes in, what happens if you go past the 10 years? You're not thinking about it. Life's moving on, you know. You got kids, you got a wife, you got a mortgage, you got all these things to worry about, and you're not even thinking about this beneficiary IRA, and the next thing you know, it's year 11. What then? Right?
Uncle's happy. They're smiling like crazy.
Huge penalty, gigantic penalty is going to be attached to it, and really who wins in this whole thing is the IRS. Because if you have, nothing against Vanguard in any way, shape, or form. I like Vanguard, actually. We use a lot of their funds. But many people nowadays are using Vanguard, and they're their own advisor. And again, the issue with that is that you're 100% in charge of that account. And so if you're not watching it and you don't have anybody else watching it for you to say, hey, by the way, your 10 years is coming up. You need to get this money out of there. And again, at that point, if you've waited that long, you're going to have to distribute the whole thing in 1 year, right? And again, that's going to be added to your income, and it's going to push you into another tax bracket, et cetera, likely, right? Not definitely. But again, it's one of those things where it really comes in huge. So I definitely want to get to, though, the issue, the beneficiary issue that Stan likes to talk about. So I'm going to kick that over to him real quick, and that goes into the contingents there.
Okay, on the beneficiary issue, it is simple if it's your spouse. The spouse can do a rollover. Well, they have two options. They can keep it into a spousal TSP account, or they can roll it over into an individual IRA account that you have to get on the outside. That's when you go see somebody like Adrian. The value of that is you have thousands of options on the outside, where in TSP you have seven options or thereabouts. If you are not the spouse, and as an example, I'll tell you a little story. A guy came to me. I said, do you have it all planned out? He said, absolutely. My wife is gone. It's going to go to my mom. I said, your mom's not your spouse. Well, he got real angry. Of course my mom's not my spouse. You are not listening. Your mom is not your spouse.
Right.
Consequently, she cannot roll over the money. So he had $800,000 in his TSP. What's your mom going to do with that money? Oh, well, she knows to raise my three kids. I said, okay. Year one, your wife cannot roll over. That means she has to take a check from TSP. But TSP takes 20% off the top to pay your taxes. All of a sudden, your $800,000 is only $640,000. But remember, she can't roll it over. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, that $640,000 is a taxable income to your mom. Can your mom pay taxes on a $640,000 addition to her already income? Mm-hmm. Probably not. So now she's now in the 43% tax bracket. And all of a sudden, your kids, administered by your mom, has $320,000. But the day before when you died, there was $800,000 there. You got to plan for this stuff. And now with the Secure Act, she can't draw that money out. She can't put that in a rollover IRA except for a trust IRA. But the bad thing about a trust IRA is they fall under the 10-year thing also. Mm-hmm. So it's... The only answer, I have two questions for you, Adrian, on answers that I've looked at. One was my idea is if you create a trust for that money, the trust then could be obligated to pay the income on the taxes on that distribution. Consequently, I'm not dumping a $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 bill, tax bill, on my daughter or on my mom or whoever, because the trust has paid that taxes, and basically the money is moving tax-free from the trust to the living person who's getting the money. The other option is, and I wanted to ask about that, if the trust then was instructed to purchase a paid-up life insurance policy for that distribution, there wouldn't be a tax on it, would there?
No, not so far as I can tell based off the question. And that is definitely something that we really do recommend, right, is getting with an estate planning attorney and saying, hey, and again, we have all three of those pegs on staff, right? So we've got the CPA. We've got that can answer that question purely. We've got the estate planning attorney that can set it up per whatever the – well, we can't write the document, but we can tell you to say, hey, this is how we think you should do it. You take it to a local estate planning attorney, which there's tons of them that are great here locally, and you say, okay, based off of the, you know, I always call it your power team, right? The financial advisor, the financial planner, the CPA, the accountant, right, or the estate planning attorney. Those three things working hand in hand can help to avoid so many of these issues, right? And to say, hey, if you do put it into a trust, that trust is going to become its own entity when you die, right? It's going to have its own income, it's going to have its own expenses, it's going to have its own tax rate. And again, that is going to avoid putting it on you individually and added to your tax rate. The money will still be taxed, right? But it will be taxed at the trust tax rate, et cetera, kind of as we go. But those, you know, again, the planning, there's an old mentor of mine always says planning makes a difference, right? And it's such a simple phrase, and it's so hard for people to want to do that. Money can't buy you happiness, but it can definitely get rid of a lot of your worries, right? And what we like to do is have that pillow on the head effect, right? What puts your head on the pillow at night and makes it easy for you to sleep and not stay up at night and worry about things? Well, planning, right? And again, if there's not exorbitant fees to that planning, which some places do, we don't. We do offer financial planning as part of our normal nominal fee that we charge clients. But again, if you're preparing for retirement as a federal employee, we actually do a lot of that stuff without a cost, just to kind of show you what we can do. And it may not be an ongoing thing, but at least you get a good idea of where you stand on that day. We always make sure to say, you know, you got to plan, you got to be ahead of the game. Waiting until you're 64 and you're going to retire in 2 months and you have to make all these decisions right now isn't a good plan of attack. Again, if you don't do that planning forwardly in your, say, 40s or 50s, and this is part of Stan's timeline in there, you could get hit by a bus at 45. And now all these things that Stan just talked about are coming into play when it would have been so easy to have an estate plan in place. And it only, you know, there's you can do it as cheap as a couple $100. And so, you know, it's one of those things where you just got to be careful. You got to plan in advance. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. But, those type of mistakes are things that are so easily solvable. And, again, we can really help you to make that come clean. So, anyway, Adrian Elder here with Stan Gourley on 560 KBLU. This is Money Talk. We'll talk to you in a couple minutes.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
A little La Bamba for the morning. I like it. All right. Hey, everyone. This is Adrian Elder. I'm here on 560K Blue. This is Money Talk. I'm here with Stan Gourley, the chapter president for Yuma for the National Active Retirement Federal Employees, NARF. We're going through some mistakes that federal employees make, and this is a great article that's totally available to anyone who would like it. It's compliance approved and ready to go. If you want to give us a call at 928-329-1700 or email me, adrian@ygwm.com, I can get you this. And again, it's just a great preparation article that says, hey, here's 10 things you need to look at if you're a federal employee and make sure you got your ducks in a row. We were talking a lot in the last segment about what happens if you die, right? And so we talked about estate planning, which is actually mistake number 8, failure to have a proper and up-to-date estate plan. But one of the other issues that comes in is life insurance. And, you know, as a young, semi-young man, I turned 40 recently, but, you know, I've got a big family. I never thought I'd have 4 kids. Luckily for me, the oops baby turned into 2 oops babies, so I have 2 twin 2-year-olds right now. But when I get on a plane, when I go on a trip, when I think, you know, the first thing that pops in my head is my life insurance paid up? Because what I don't want to do is leave my whole family $100,000 and that's it. You know, they got to try to figure out how they're going to pay the mortgage and pay for college and all kinds of other stuff with that. And so the federal government has an excellent program while you're working. It's called FEGLI, Federal Employee Guaranteed Life Insurance. It's a term policy, right? And so it's not a whole life or variable life. We generally do not recommend things like that, and we can show you the numbers on it and show you why that's not something we generally would recommend. But we love term policies, and we think they're an excellent thing. And one of the best things about working for the federal government is these term policies are absolutely dirt cheap while you're working, right? And so most of them are, you know, 2x earnings, right? And so if you make $100,000, then you have $200,000. But there are multiples that you can buy up to. And again, those buy-ups are not all that expensive by any means, and it comes off your check. You don't have to think about it. It just happens. It's not like you have to go out and look for it or anything to that effect. Again, once you retire, though, those costs will increase, and they'll increase pretty good. So I want to kick it over to Stan a little bit and have him talk about that life insurance and why it's so important.
Well, the life insurance, as Adrian said, if you're an active employee, I'm unaware of a better product available outside of your employment. The bad news is when you leave federal service for whatever reason, or for many people, like my daughter works on downtown, she has life insurance, and I keep telling her, that ends when you take another job. You know, it doesn't carry on. Where is your life insurance for your family? And right now, she doesn't have it. She relies on that company plan. The federal government plan is great as an active employer, but when you retire, no matter what age, the premium goes up radically. By the time you are 70, I think the premium average is like 300% higher than it was when the day you retired. That is horrible life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a time in there that you need to make some choices. There's choices within FEGLI. I made one where my premium ended at age 65. The value of the policy diminished to 25% over time. And today, I have 25% of my original retirement insurance, but I don't have to pay any premiums on it.
Mm-hmm.
And now my wife has enough to bury me and have a hell of a party.
Yeah. And you know, you can, again, you know, health comes into a big part of this, right? So there are definitely some people who have, you know, pre-existing conditions, things like that, that make it very difficult after the fact to go out and get private insurance. Life insurance by private insurance. And so, you know, obviously that's a little bit different of a scenario. But for the vast majority of people, especially if you're retiring semi-early, right, again, in the early 60s, which, again, that to us, we consider that semi-early, right? I mean, most people in the private area do not get to retire that early. I don't think I'm going to be able to retire that early, but I'm trying my butt off to save enough to make it that way. Because, again, you know, most of us don't have pensions, right? And so unless you work for a municipality, city of Yuma, state of Arizona, and obviously that's the same pension between the two of them, but federal government, those type of things, pensions are really going the way of the dodo, right? And so they're just so expensive that it makes it very tough to afford. There was actually an article last week in the Yuma Sun about that exact thing and how they're going to cover that expensive cost. But again, you know, we look at that insurance and we say, if you're really healthy when you go to retire, right, FEGLI's been great for you while you had it. Maybe you can keep it a little bit longer. But while you're still healthy, let's go out and let's look at those individual private companies, because again, if you wait until you're 65, 70, things like that, those expenses are going to get so high, you know, on your monthly cost that it's not going to be worth keeping. So we can go out and we can look at those different numbers and say, hey, you know, if you pay, it might be $80 a month or it might be $100 a month or whatever it might be, but that might get you $500,000 or $1 million worth of life insurance. And so, you know, it's really important to keep that in mind, because even after you retire, if the situation that Stan talked about were to happen, there would have, a life insurance policy would have been a huge benefit there, right? Where that mom inherited the funds, but there was also a life insurance policy that paid out for that. A secondary factor, and this is something that, you know, again, this is a factor that is increasing by X fold as we go every 10 years, is long-term care. And, you know, it's something that's really important, whether it's disability insurance. That's one of our mistakes, is making sure you have disability insurance, but also making sure that you have long-term care. So as you're going into, you know, that retirement plan and saying, hey, I'm going to retire here pretty soon, is it time to start looking at long-term care? Because, again, Americans are living longer and longer. Our medical system is very good at keeping us alive. They do very well for us. Each generation tends to live about 5 years more than the previous generation. And obviously there's factors in there, right? If you have a history of diabetes or heart attacks or things like that in your family, maybe it doesn't make sense. But, you know, I have plenty of clients who are in their late 80s, early 90s, and they look great. You know, they're going to be around a lot longer. And there's going to be a time, though, where you need to have either someone coming into your house and taking care of you, or going into a facility and having them, you know, basically help you out as much as possible. Those things are all insurance related and all things that you need to put as part of your financial plan. So when you're transitioning out, right, from that federal employment, there's a lot of different factors to look at.
Absolutely. The retirement of my mom and my mother-in-law, slightly different issues relative to their long-term health care. But on one, she had no values, no estate at all. And even with that, it still took an additional 7 months from the time that she should have been in a facility, in which the resolution of that was such that she was in a facility and fell under the auspices of Medicaid, Medicare. On the other side, the other family member, her whole estate will be consumed. It's unlikely, she's, you know, 96 today, she's not going to outlive the money she has in the bank, but that approximately $700,000 is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because the, you know, it goes to her health care, and that's the end of it. There's no estate value there because she didn't have long-term health insurance. Neither one of them did. But it's kind of sad. But if you have a need for long-term care, it'll wipe out your estate to your family, whatever that might be.
Absolutely. The average in Arizona is around $4,000 or $5,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
And I just got done. I have a client in New York, and she was telling me what her mom is paying. It's over $10,000 a month.
Wow.
Now, granted, it's a little bit of a Cadillac place, right? I mean, it's a really nice facility. But that's a really important thing to consider. Again, while we're on that long-term care, right, mistake number six, and this is something that we've only got about 6 minutes left, so I want to make sure that we touch on this because, again, this ties into the election and a lot of the other things that we're talking about, is failure to consider your TSP as a long-term investment, right, and to properly invest as such. And so, again, in this piece that we're going to have on our website about the election today, we talk a lot about that, right, and having a suitable allocation in your account, risk level-wise, right, that says, I'm okay with losing X as long as I'm capable of making Y, right? And TSP should be considered the same way, and it should be used as such. Trying to time the market or trying to day trade your TSP is a terrible idea, and we do not recommend doing that by any means. And again, the thing to keep in consideration is that even after you retire, right, your TSP, if it rolls into an IRA, which from a beneficiary standpoint is probably pretty smart, or even from the funds that are available, you know, again, C fund and S fund are very good funds. I fund could use a little help. G fund is something that's very difficult to replace, while F fund is pretty easily replaceable, right? Again, that long-term plan and saying, hey, this money isn't going to go into a cash account the day I turn 62 or 65 or 52, right? Depending on what your retirement looks like. It's going to live for another 20 years. It's going to live for another 30 years, or maybe even past you to your spouse and to your kids. And so to consider it and say, hey, you know, what risk level am I taking? Is that something that I can get an X-ray on and say, I'm in a suitable allocation for the risk level? What would be my worst case scenario historically, and would I be able to accept that going forward? And those are things that we can provide. The system that we use is able to, again, show you all of the returns of C fund, S fund, I fund, F fund, the L funds, all those different things that are out there, G fund, and especially important because G fund historically has a very good rate of return to it, but over the course of the last 10 years or so, with interest rates going down so much, that number has come down dramatically to the point where it's really barely keeping pace with inflation. But again, if security is what you need, then G fund is great for you, right? If you don't care if it ever goes up, then it's not going to go down, right? But if you need it to grow and or you're not going to be able to live, you might have to accept a little bit more risk in the account. We can show you what risk you are taking and what risk you should be taking to meet what we call your family index number, the percentage you need to make a year in order for that money to be able to last. But again, considering it a long-term investment and making sure that you're not jumping in and out and making, you know, kind of silly mistakes that are based off of emotion. The two most important things you can do with an investment account, and it doesn't matter whether it's your TSP, an IRA, Roth IRA, 401k, all of those, you know, are really the same, right? Take the emotion out of it and stay disciplined. Those are two of the most important things.
And I think people forget in TSP that you can have a percentage in C, a percentage in C, a percentage in F, and you can move that around from your computer on your desk or at home off of your laptop. So, because TSP, now that it's online, is a 24-hour brokerage, bearing in mind that it's great while you're employed and it's fantastic for that first 6%. But after that, now you have your 7% because you got a wiggy and you want to do something with it. You need to start looking at other things outside of TSP. One of the mistakes I feel I made was I left too much in the TSP. Now when I take it out, I have to pay taxes on it. If I had put it in a Roth IRA,
right,
I would have paid taxes 20 years ago and not taxes today.
Yep, and that's a really important consideration because you can look forward 20 years and say, okay, am I truly going to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement than I am right now? And so if the answer is no, right, if you're not going to be in a way lower tax bracket in retirement, you might as well get taxed on it today, let that money grow tax-free over time, and that's always a tough part when a client calls me and they're taking money out of their IRA or their 401k or whatever it might be, and they're like, all right, well, hey, I need $10,000, and I say, well, you're going to need to take out $14,440 to get $10,000, and they're like, whoa, are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, that's your federal taxes. That's your state taxes. Those things are all still applicable. So we are running down on time here a little bit. I wanted to thank everybody for being with us today. I wanted to especially thank Stan for coming on again. He's a wealth of knowledge. If you're not a member of NARF, you should be a member of NARF. It's the best $40 a year you're going to spend. You know, again, I've attended the meetings. The information is excellent. We are here to help you in any way, shape, or form that we can. Again, our phone number at Yuma Investment Group is 928-329-1700. We can check off every box you need financially, and we can help you make sure that your financial plan is as solid as can be. Thank you again. This has been Money Talk, and thank you for listening to 560 KBLU.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.